It is a Tuesday. You know what that means. Time for the Dial-A-Doc program here today from FHN. Dial-A-Doc this morning brought to you by FHN. September is National Emergency Preparedness Month. And joining us here today is the EMS and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator, Douglas Tepfer's with us. Hey, Doug, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining me. Now, you are the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator at FHN. Tell us again, we talked about this before, but tell us again what that role entails.
Basically, the hospital is an extremely important part in any type of disaster response for a community. So part of my responsibilities are assuring that the staff is prepared not only to respond to a disaster internally, but also to respond to community disasters and how our role fits into that response.
Now, when we're talking about emergency, what types of emergencies are you considering that you have to prepare for at FHN, and what should we be ready for as well? Tell us about that.
Well, the emergencies can be something as simple as a utility failure that could impact a great number of people. If we lose water, natural gas, electricity for an extended period of time, obviously that's going to affect people in the community. It can also affect the hospital if we don't have plans in place to deal with that. And then that goes all the way down the line through your natural disasters as well as snow emergencies. And then, of course, the unspeakable things we don't want to think about, like foreign or domestic terrorism.
FHN, I know, does conduct regularly exercises to be well prepared in the event of a real emergency. Give us an example, Doug, of a recent exercise and how it went through.
Sure. Actually, we've had some real responses with the unique weather we've had over the summer. So we've had some tornado warnings we've had to respond to and put our plan into place. But we recently did a violent intruder scenario at our behavioral health center. And we did that with some of our community partners because we feel it's important for them to understand not only what our response plans are, but for us to understand what their response plans are and be able to work together in case of a disaster.
You talk about partnerships as well here today, and tell us about the partners that you work with in the community.
Well, we work with everyone from police and fire and EMS through health department and emergency management agency at the county. We also work with our regional hospitals as part of a coalition just to make sure that we're there for each other in case something happens.
You know, I know on a personal or family level, families are not thinking and people are not thinking about this enough, but September is a good month for people to really ascertain their own preparedness in the case of an emergency. And I think what people have to remember is that text messaging is just not going to work in the event of a real emergency. So what kinds of things should people at home know about being prepared for the event of emergency for themselves individually and their family?
There's a lot of information that they can find about that specific emergency preparedness for a family or for an individual, whether it's putting together a go bag in case you have to leave in a hurry and evacuate that has information, medical history, medications that you take, contact information for families and relatives that live out of town. We're so used to just looking up their name on our cell phone, and we don't tend to remember those things anymore. Any family heirlooms that you think are priceless and you do not want to have to lose if you have to evacuate due to an earthquake, a fire, or a natural disaster. Plus, you want to make sure that you realize you may be displaced for days, weeks, and possibly hundreds of miles away from where you normally live. So you have to take some of those things into account as well. Something as simple as a spare phone charger in your go bag can really make an impact when 3 days later, you have no way to charge your phone or get in touch with somebody.
We're talking on FHN Dial-A-Doc here today to the EMS and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator, Douglas Tepfer, here today from FHN. Doug, I know another thing that individuals could do to be better prepared for life in general is to make sure that everyone in the family is up to date on immunizations and has current health information as well. FHN making it easier now to get flu shots. Tell us about this.
Absolutely. Last year we did our first drive-through flu clinic, and it went very well, and so we're offering that experience again this year. We have two drive-through flu clinics set up, both at our Burchard Hills facility. The first one is Saturday, September 29th, from 8 in the morning till 10 a.m. And the second one is Wednesday, October 3rd from 4 to 6:30 p.m. And we encourage people to take advantage of that. They don't have to get out of the vehicle. They drive up. We get their paperwork done. They drive through the line, get their flu shot, and they're on their way in a fairly short period of time. We also have a special walk-up clinic on Wednesday, September 26th from 3 to 6 at the Farmers Market at Highland Community College as well.
Yeah, you guys make it very easy for the flu shots, and it's very important coming up because, and believe it or not, yeah, flu season is just around the corner. Doug, what about in terms of a community-wide emergency? What should individuals know or need to know about being prepared in the event of a whole community having an emergency? What's your thought on that?
I think people need to be able to, first of all, have a trusted source for information. Believe it or not, Facebook can be both good and bad. It all depends on who's putting that information out. But dealing with local news agencies, making sure you can dial into them through radio or even through Facebook or cell phone feed is important. The other important thing is not to respond to the disaster. We do not want community members showing up to help. Our natural instinct is to help, but we want people to realize that when we need that help, we're actually going to ask for it. There'll be instructions on how to go about doing that. People who self-present to a disaster oftentimes clog up their response and make things a little bit more difficult.
And, of course, it's always not the right thing to you know, run to the hospital or if there's a medical aspect to the emergency, tell us about that.
Well, if there's a large disaster, especially a large-scale disaster, there's going to be a lot of changes to the way things are done. And so there'll be treatment centers set up periodically throughout the area, depending on the type of disaster. There may be alternate care sites. If the hospital is affected itself, we have plans that allow us to use the care that we provide here and move it to another location, depending on the type of emergency, to continue to care for our community. So people need to be up to date on what's happening as much as possible in those situations.
I know that there's a lot of good information out there about emergency preparedness on the FHN website. Talk about that and tell folks how they can get there.
Sure. If you go to www.fhn.org and go to the About Us tab, your emergency preparedness, we have information about our program as well as the links to several of our partners, FEMA, Illinois Emergency Management Agency, American Red Cross, who all have great information about being prepared for different types of disasters, what you should do for your family, and what to do in case of a disaster.
We're talking with Doug Tepfer, the EMS and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for FHN and the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. Doug, where could people go to get just general information about emergency preparedness? Or also, I understand, you also have some emergency care classes at FHN as well.
Correct. Same place if you go to our website, www.fhn.org, and go under community, you'll notice that we do some community classes, CPR first aid, as well as the Stop the Bleed program, which is a newer program that we offer that teaches family members, general community people, how to respond in case of a severe bleeding incident. More people die of blood loss than they actually do from respiratory arrest, and we don't teach that as often as we should. Everybody knows how to do CPR or rescue breathing, but you can actually die faster from a severe bleed. So we're pretty proud of our Stop the Bleed program, and we encourage people to sign up for those classes.
All right, very good. Immunization coming up as well. We remind folks now again in terms of the immunization program that you have. A very, very good program, quick, easy, drive-through, actually. And tell us again when the upcoming when that event's coming up.
Our drive-through flu clinics are Saturday, September 29th from 8 to 10 in the morning, and Wednesday, October 3rd. From 4 to 6:30 p.m., both at our Burchard Hills facility in Freeport on Fairway Drive. And then we'll have a special walk-up clinic from 3 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, September 26th, out at the Highland Community College Farmers Market.
All right, very good. Week from Saturday, remember the drive-through that's happening, and then the other times as well. Doug, it's always great to talk to you. Great information. Let's talk again soon, okay?
Sounds good, Scott. Thank you very much.
Doug Tepfer here today, the EMS and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator here today. And that's the FHN Dial-A-Doc program preceding brought to you this morning by FHN.